Welcome. You're listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials of items read on AIRS LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Today's articles are from the May 2026 edition. Making Barbecue History by Sid Evans. A man in pursuit of the best smoked meat in the South. 2 years ago, on a hot summer day around lunchtime, I pulled up to an unassuming place called Palmyra Barbecue, which anchors a small shopping center in the West Ashley area of Charleston, South Carolina. Smoke was billowing up from the chimneys behind the building, and the smell of good barbecue hit me as soon as I got out of the car. On the brick wall out front was a colorful mural depicting a woman carrying a shovel and a shotgun beside a pig emblazoned with the words, Whole Hog Country, U.S. of A. This was a fitting spot to meet our contributing barbecue editor, Robert Moss, who's been covering the sprawling world of smoked meats for Southern Living since 2014. Robert told me that Palmyra was making some of the South's best barbecue, a compliment he doesn't give lightly. On my next trip to Charleston, I called him and made lunch plans. He was sitting in a booth, looking at a menu when I walked inside. A soft-spoken guy with reddish hair, glasses, and a beard. He's not your typical barbecue columnist, if there is such a thing. Originally from Greenville, South Carolina, Robert got his Ph.D. in American Literature at the University of South Carolina, then went on to found a successful software company. As an amateur historian, he became interested in the connection between food and society, especially in the South. In 2010, he published Barbecue, The History of an American Institution, which has since been revised and expanded. From there, his obsession only deepened, and he's combed the region in search of great restaurants and the stories behind them. The history's got me hooked, he told me recently, but he's even more excited about what's happening now. We've had this wonderful revival of new people coming into the game. There's a whole new generation picking up the mantle. When we got up to order from the counter, we were met by the charming Hector Garrott, who opened this spot in 2024 and soon had lines out the door. His creative mix of Texas and Carolina styles, with spices inspired by his Puerto Rican roots, had turned Robert into an instant fan, and I could see why. He pointed us to beef ribs, tostadas, piled with barbacoa, pulled pork, hash and rice, and beef cheeks, his signature dish. Hanging on the wall, an illuminated sign that said, Beef Cheek is King. After lunch, Hector gave us a tour of the pits out back, where the magic happens. He and Robert talked about the techniques, spices, and cuts of meat on a level I didn't quite comprehend, but I was just happy to have been guided to the best meal I'd had in ages. If you're after something similar, Robert talks about Hector and four other pitmasters in the next BBQ Questions. I can't vouch for all of their food myself, but if I had to guess, these guys are going to make history. Sid Evans, Editor-in-Chief. The Next Barbecue Legends by Robert Moss. For 60 years, Southern Living has chronicled the South's great pitmasters. But what does it mean to be a barbecue legend? Making excellent food is essential, but that's just the starting point. The truly mythic figures are the ones with the wide-reaching influence, teaching other cooks, breaking new ground, and pushing the regional traditions forward. In the opening years of the 21st century, a new generation of ambitious pitmasters like Aaron Franklin, Rodney Scott, and Sam Jones staked out their territories and helped revitalize the Southern scene. But which cooks will be the next ones to rise up? It's hard to predict who will be remembered as a barbecue icon 60 years from now. Here, though, are the candidates people could still be talking about then. We ask a few of their peers to weigh in on why each one of them may be a legend in the making. The evangelist, Elliot Moss. Elliot's Barbecue Lounge, Florence, South Carolina. Last year, Elliot Moss returned to Florence, South Carolina, and opened Elliot's Barbecue Lounge, bringing home a decade of skills honed in the North Carolina mountains. He started out as a fine dining chef, but jumped into barbecue when he teamed up with restaurateur Mehrwan Irani for the now-closed Buxton Hall Barbecue in Asheville. There he cooked whole hogs right in the open kitchen, doing it so well that he was a semi-finalist for the James Beard Award for the Best Chef Southeast in 2017. Moss's new Florence operation is inside Seminar Brewing, a sprawling complex with a full bar, with Seminar beer on tap, of course. A game corner with pool tables and pinball machines. Next door stands his recently constructed pit house, where he fires the open brick pits with pecan wood rendered down to coals in a gigantic burn barrel. He turns out everything from direct heat cooked ribs to tender smoked salmon. But the stars of the show are the PD style chopped whole hog and regional specialties like chicken bog and fish stew. One of the many chefs Moss has mentored is Joel Easton of Easton Barbecue Company in Hollywood, South Carolina, who got his start at Buxton Hall. He began cooking on the line in 2019 and soon worked his way up to tending the pits. Elliot took me on pretty quick because I was just so excited about everything and he saw something in me, I guess. He learned from Moss how to judge how far along you are in the cook, how the hog's looking, how it's feeling, how it's smelling, all that good stuff. Moss also taught him his method of making hash and rice, South Carolina's signature barbecue stew. That was a pretty involved process, Easton says. We were using a lot of leftover stuff from the hogs and rendering fat and using what we called hash bits, which are little crispy bits that couldn't be served on a plate. It would all go in the hash pot. Moss is something of a hash evangelist. In fact, having stirred up big cauldrons of it at festivals around the South, he introduced it to diners in formerly benighted, hashless regions, including Texas. Evan Leroy told me that the hash he serves at Leroy and Lewis in Austin was inspired by the recipe in Moss's cookbook, Buxton Hall Barbecue's Book of Smoke. Apparently, legends even inspire each other sometimes. The fusionist, Hector Garrott, Palmyra Barbecue, Charleston, South Carolina. In just a few short years, Hector Garrott went from operating a pop-up to founding an acclaimed Charleston barbecue restaurant, where he's perfected his signature blend of South Carolina, Caribbean, and Texas flavors. The pulled whole hog and pork ribs at Palmyra are accompanied by arroz con grandules, rice with pigeon peas, and Puerto Rican beans cooked in an orange sofrito base. The Caribbean-inflected sausages include the rosy-hued cotechino, accented with allspice, cinnamon, and white wine, and the pionono, which blends beef cheek trimmings with sweet plantains and sofrita and gouda. Garrott started out making Texas-style brisket on a little Oklahoma Joe's offset smoker in his yard. Then he met Marvin C. Ross, the fifth-generation hog farmer at Peculiar Pig Farm, who introduced him to cooking whole hogs and preparing hash and rice. Garrott uses every last scrap of his pigs, smoking the heads for the hash pot and simmering leftover bones to make broth for the collards. He's put his own spin on the Texas classics, too, using beef cheeks and chopped barbacoa as his regular beef offerings instead of brisket. Now Garrott is teaming up with other pitmasters on similar cross-regional journeys. Don Gwynn of Houston's Koi Barbecue is one of them, We just clicked the moment we met, Gwen says. Garot flew to Houston for a backyard pop-up with Coy, where they flavored the pork with Garot's sofrito and Gwen's lemongrass and fish sauce. I wasn't super familiar with Puerto Rican food, Gwen recalls, but when we made the sofrito, I was like, what herbs do you need? They were the same ones that we use for pho. When Garot was invited to cook a whole pig at Interstellar Barbecue in Austin, he borrowed Gwen's mobile pit, since those cookers are rare in Texas. In November 2023, amid a sea of brisket and ribs at the Barbecue World's Fair in Lockhart, he and Gwen served whole hog over vermicelli dressed with fish sauce. Garot has now helped make hog pits easier to come by in Texas, working with Michael Johnson of Syntex Smokers on the design of the direct heat low country cooker. He debuted the first production model with Gwen at the Barbecue World's Fair before towing it back to Palmyra in Charleston. Coy Barbecue now has one in Houston, and others are in use at acclaimed restaurants across the country. Not bad for a guy who staged his first pop-up in 2021. The promoter. Lewis Donald, Sweet Lou's Barbecue, Charlotte, North Carolina. Lewis Donald took an unlikely route to becoming a Carolinian barbecue champion. A native of Cleveland, Ohio, he first cooked his chosen cuisine in the mountains of West Virginia during a 3-year apprenticeship at the Greenbrier Resort. He moved to Charlotte in 2008 and spent the next decade working the kitchens in country clubs and resorts, before stepping out to open Sweet Lou's Barbecue. The culture and the traditions are what drew Donald to barbecue, and despite his white tablecloth roots, he keeps things simple at Sweet Lou's. The counter service operation blends methods from across the Carolinas. The pork shoulders are seasoned with just salt and pepper and chopped like they are in Lexington, but the guests can dress them in Eastern-style vinegar sauce if they choose. They can also pick between North Carolina's two coleslaw varieties, red, ketchup-based, and white, mayo-based, and there's even South Carolina hash and yellow mustard sauce. Launching a successful restaurant wasn't enough, though. In 2022, Donald founded the Carolina Barbecue Festival, which brings pitmasters from around the Carolinas to Charlotte each April. When Donald was planning the inaugural event, he drove 3 hours east to Garland, North Carolina, to recruit Matthew Register, the owner of Southern Smoke Barbecue. His energy about what he was doing was kind of infectious, Register recalls. Some people are in the festival and events for the wrong reasons. Very early on, it was clear that Lewis was in it for the right reasons. Donald knew there were plenty of talented pitmasters in the region who weren't getting invited to the big national exhibitions, so he wanted to give them a stage of their own. Being able to really watch from the first year and see how small it was, and then, all of a sudden, what it's grown into, has been pretty unreal, Register says. The lineup has expanded from 8 pitmasters at the original event to more than 25 this year. When you look at the names in North Carolina Barbecue, Register says, you've got Sam Jones and also Nathan Monk of Lexington Barbecue. Bringing those guys together, that's saying something. Nobody can pull that off, but Lewis has. We have come to the end of our program. I'm Joyce Davis, and I will be back soon.